This episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring launching exclusively at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings can only be previewed exclusively at BlueNile.com.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fanside Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. The Timberwolves lost on Monday evening, recording this actually shortly after the game on Monday night for a Tuesday show. The Timberwolves lost to the Cavs, splitting the season series. They won on Sunday, of course, so on back-to-back nights, splitting the games with the Cavs, losing by only two. It was an interesting game. They played hard throughout, but there were some pretty big issues down the stretch. Interesting rotation combinations. The Wolves did get Naz Reid back, but we're still missing Towns, Hernan Gomez, Culver. Just a really kind of a weird game. So I want to get into that. That's really what today's show is talking about the key takeaways, the high points from the game, as well as studs and duds. And that'll be today's show. Before we get to all that, though, a quick reminder, you can follow this podcast on Spotify. You can also subscribe on iTunes or anywhere else you like to get your podcasts. And then you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And my personal Twitter account is at bbeacon. That's B. B, two B's, and then two E's. B-B-E-E-C-K-E-N is my Twitter handle. You can follow me there. All right, so let's talk about Wolves-Cavs Part 2. So the Cleveland Cavaliers early in the day announced that Andre Drummond would be questionable. Ultimately, he did not play. And if you thought this was going to make the game easier for the Wolves, well, our friends at betonline.ag did, because the line dropped pretty early in the day. I think it was 6.5 or 7 at betonline.ag. It dropped all the way to 3 a little bit before tip-off, before stretching back out to, I think, 3.5 right before tip-off. But, I mean, turns out Jared Allen's really good. I've talked about him before on the show as I think one of the more underrated big men in the league, and he was weirdly kind of almost a throw-in in the deal that brought James Harden to Brooklyn. Jared Allen ends up going to Cleveland, and he had 23 and 18 in this game and 5 blocks in the starting lineup. He's a really good player. You could certainly make the argument he's a better player than Andre Drummond, and he fits today's modern NBA far better than Drummond does, and was a nightmare for the Timberwolves, even with getting Naz Reid back. So if you thought not having Drummond was going to make things more difficult for the Cavs, it didn't make things that much more difficult for the Cavs. They didn't really miss a beat. And also Larry Nance Jr. missed the game too. So we saw quite a bit of JaVale McGee off the bench. We saw some Lamar Stevens off the bench as well. But this was really the Jared Allen show, with a little bit of Colin Sexton and Darius Garland in the backcourt. Garland had a really nice game. So I want to break this down from, of course, the Timberwolves' perspective and the game as a whole. The first quarter was actually really entertaining. Both teams played hard. The offense was pretty solid on both sides. The Wolves' bench was great. Played really hard defensively. Had some shooting issues. But generally, I mean, it was a competitive first quarter. It ended with both teams with 29 points. Just kind of fun basketball. As the second quarter wore on, the Timberwolves' second unit struggled a little bit offensively. And then the starters came back in and were even worse offensively in the second quarter. And I tweeted something to this effect, that basically, if you thought the fourth quarter, where the Cavs didn't score, didn't make a shot for about 9 minutes on Sunday's game, and the Wolves offense wasn't much better in the final couple of minutes, allowing the Cavs to trim what was a 10-point margin with 2 minutes left down to 5. If you thought that offense was bad, the second quarter in this game, and frankly, not just the Timberwolves, the Cavs too, the second quarter in this game is not going to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Rewatch that second quarter I don't know. I challenge you to rewatch the second quarter and not just immediately shut it off and take a break from watching basketball for a while. It was pretty bad. Both teams clanking shots, lots of turnovers, just poor all around basketball in the second quarter of this game. And that led to the Wolves being down by 8 at halftime. And it really didn't feel good. It didn't feel like this game was headed in the right direction. The Cavs stretched the lead out slightly in the third. They outscored the Wolves 24-23 in the third quarter. And again, the second unit played really hard, came in with roughly 5 minutes for the most part. Most of the second unit was in the game just past the midway point of the third quarter and played better in the second in this stint than they did certainly in the second quarter of this game. But there were still so many offensive issues. That second unit that's so intriguing also has some pretty clear shortcomings. And that's one of my big takeaways that I want to get to here shortly. But we're talking about a unit that's ran by Ricky Rubio. And for the most part, you've got Jalen Noel now at the two guard. And I talked a lot about how I like the Rubio-Noel pairing on the show on Monday. And then Jared Vanderbilt had to play the five for the most part, Jade McDaniels and Jake Layman. And then as Naz Reid got worked back into the rotation, he played most of his minutes, actually, I think all of his minutes with Jared Vanderbilt or Jade McDaniels at the four. And then Layman's minutes got shorted a little bit. So Naz Reid had played 13 minutes and Jake Layman played 14, effectively splitting those bench minutes with Vanderbilt and McDaniels kind of rotating through. So it was actually, I didn't hate the way that Ryan Saunders handled that rotation, allowing Naz to get some minutes, allowing Jake Layman to get a little bit of run. Although Layman's probably the first guy to go in this rotation moving forward as they start to get pieces back. Part of the reason Naz only played 13 minutes was because he had five personal fouls in those 13 minutes. And while he played Jared Allen tough on both ends of the court, and I was dubious that that was going to be possible, he got into foul trouble. You know, he had a couple shots blocked by him. Allen made his life difficult, but Naz made Jared Allen's life pretty difficult too. The Wolves actually used him pretty effectively in the second half to spread the floor just a little bit and pull Jared Allen away from the paint and JaVale McGee for a stretch as well. Both of those guys, the Wolves were struggling in the paint to get shots off throughout the game. The Cavs blocked 12 shots in this game, and I think six or seven were in the first half. So I guess roughly half were in the first half. And incidentally, the Wolves blocked exactly one shot in this game, in case you were wondering. But Naz, there were two instances in the second half really close together where Naz was posted up basically in the left corner and just kind of hung out there. He received a pass and knocked on a wide open three-pointer. But, you know, on one play, it was a Ricky Rubio dribble penetration where he held onto the ball just long enough to give Naz enough space to get the shot off without a real contest from the Cavs. And then the other one was a pass from the paint. I believe it was D'Angelo Russell. Maybe it was Jalen. I'm not positive. It could have been Jalen Noel kicking the ball to the left corner. And Naz was wide open in the left corner, knocked it down. And that's how Naz is going to be used offensively. And in a game like this against the Cavs, the Wolves needed to spread the floor more and allow their guards to operate. Unfortunately, Ricky Rubio continues to struggle offensively, and this was not D'Angelo Russell's best game either. Outside of a couple drives early, he was not too interested in getting into the paint, and that ended up being a bad thing for the Timberwolves as the game wore on, and the Cavs just basically hosted a block party in the paint, and the Wolves just became completely too shy to get in there. But down the stretch, the Wolves had some issues executing offensively, and that's another key takeaway that I want to get to here in the next segment. But the Wolves went on a 9-0 run, actually took a one-point lead in the fourth quarter, and then the Cavs promptly went on an 11-2 run of their own as the Wolves filtered back their starters into the game. And then Josh Okogie came off the floor in favor of Jade McDaniels. So the Wolves had four of their starters plus McDaniels at the four. Ryan Saunders has said quite a bit recently. He talked in his postgame comments on Sunday about McDaniels defending so well that he's forced their hand to keep him on the floor. This was an example of the Wolves saying, look, Okogie's not threatening the opponent offensively, and Jade McDaniels can do a good number of the things Okogie can do defensively with even a little bit more length. Let's put him on the floor down the stretch, see if he can defend and also give us some more punch on offense. Sure enough, he was the one guarding Darius Garland on an island in the final minute with the Wolves down just four after a D'Lo three in the corner. And he actually played Garland extremely well. Garland made a really tough kind of baseline 10-12 footer to pretty much seal the game, putting the Cavs up six with 43 seconds left. And the Wolves, of course, ultimately made it a little more interesting and lost by two. But McDaniels showed a lot defensively once again, guarding a much smaller player, sticking with him off the bounce and you know, really not ceding any ground, contesting the shot. Yes, the shot went in, but it was a good defensive possession from Jaden McDaniels. So down the stretch, the Wolves didn't execute offensively until the final couple of minutes when it was just kind of a desperation try by the Wolves, and they did get within two, but it was more the like the 6 minute mark to the 2 minute mark of the fourth quarter where the Wolves really faltered offensively. And so I want to talk about that more here in just a minute. And then of course, finally today, we'll get into studs and duds here in just a little bit. Before we do that though, let's talk about betonline.ag. I alluded to the line earlier for betonline.ag. I actually had a teaser bet for tonight where I teased the Wolves up to plus 10 at Cleveland, as well as the Hawks plus 10 at the Lakers. And I hit on both of those. Of course, neither of those was all that crazy, but still I felt really good about that. And I got that bet. I also hit on my other three bets for the evening. So I'm on a little bit of a streak here at betonline.ag. If you're not familiar with sports betting, this is the place that you need to start, is betonline.ag. That's the one place that'll have you covered, and the one place that we here at Locked On trust. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Super Bowl's upcoming. There's tons of fun prop bets for the Super Bowl. Plus, of course, NBA, college basketball, NHL is a ton of fun to bet as well. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use the promo code Locked On. You'll receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about key takeaways from this game. Number one, we're two games into the starting lineup, or I guess three, so this is kind of a crazy statement. I'm still pretty bullish on the idea of D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Anthony Edwards working together offensively. Now, I started the year thinking that that wouldn't work because, you know, the whole there's only one ball to go around thing, and, you know, throw Karl-Anthony Towns into the mix, and it becomes a little bit, you know, iffier whether or not that's really a possibility. And right now it certainly works because Ed Davis and Josh Kogi are both extremely low usage players. You know, they combined to make, I think, one shot in yesterday's game. Today they were in Monday's game, they were 4 for 11 combined. Most of that was Ed Davis, but you could get away with that with Davis and Kogi being defensive minded. When you add Towns to the mix, will this work? I tend to think yes. And it would have worked in this game as well, except for D'Angelo Russell played a really weird game. Malik Beasley just wasn't very good in this game, which was unusual for him. He's been so good all year. And then Anthony Edwards did, you know, he didn't play like he did Sunday, but he had a pretty solid game. The reason why I think this works is because D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley are good enough shooters that they can provide the space that Anthony Edwards needs to operate. Edwards can operate in the pick and roll. He can be put in an isolation set, which the Wolves don't do a ton of, but they could do this with Edwards. Put him in isolation, basically spread the floor, and you've got Russell and Beasley on the perimeter. And, you know, those guys are going to shoot in the upper 30s, low 40s, you know, percent on threes. And if Edwards is on the floor with, call it, you know, Ricky Rubio and Jake Layman, or Ricky Rubio and Jarrett Culver, or Ricky Rubio and Culver and Okogie, I mean, teams are going to absolutely load up on Anthony Edwards, not only when he gets near the paint, but even on the perimeter. I mean, teams are just going to load their defense to the side of the floor that Edwards is on and just be focused with keeping him away from the rim or making his life more difficult, making him make a more difficult read. It's harder to do that when you've got guys that are going to knock down threes at a 40% clip on either wing, and Russell and Beasley. Now, add Karl-Anthony Towns, you could argue that makes it even easier because Towns is the best shooter of all of them. But the trickle-down effect is, how does that impact the bench unit? Obviously, if Davis is going to the bench, where are the points coming from on the bench? I mean, you're going to rely on Naz Reid in short minutes. Rubio's not going to score for you. It's Jalen Nowell is kind of, I mean, and then McDaniels are kind of the answer off the bench at that point. But would a starting lineup work? Would you put your four best scorers in the starting lineup together and Russell, Beasley, Edwards, and Towns? I don't know. That's a question that Ryan Saunders is going to need to figure out the answer to. I think the answer is yes, as long as you then appropriately stagger the rest of your minutes, whether that's Noel is the first guy off the bench and Beasley or Edwards is the first guy down so they can come back with the bench unit. It's probably something like that. But the Wolves still have this weird roster where they've got a few guys who are solid offensive players and they don't play much defense, and they've got a few guys who play defense and don't do much effectively on offense, especially on the wing. Talked about this before, but Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver are examples of all defense, no offense players on the wing. Malik Beasley has defended a little this year. Anthony Edwards defends a little and in theory could be very good. D'Angelo Russell, all three of those guys are all offense, no defense. Thankfully, Karl-Anthony Towns appears, at least in his four games this year, that he's going to be more of a defender this year than he has been in past years. The Wolves don't have very many guys that are truly two-way players, and Jalen Noel's got a chance. He's obviously much more on the talented on the offensive side of things. He doesn't have great size defensively. He's not super athletic, but he's got some promise defensively. So what happens next with this rotation? At any rate, I think that trio played fairly well in this game. Beasley was 0-6 behind the arc and 5-14 on the night. It was just an off night for him. He had four turnovers, and by my count, three of them were simply just losing the ball and kicking it away. There was one, once he dribbled the ball off his foot to a defender, the other, and it was a live ball turnover. Another time, he just bounced it off his leg out of bounds. It was, I don't even think he was dribbling. I think it was a pass that he mishandled, kind of kicked out of bounds. It was just a weird game for Beasley, and it's certainly a blip on the radar. D'Angelo Russell started the game shooting like 3-6 or 3-7, all two-point shots. He didn't attempt a three-pointer until the very end of the second quarter. And then of his final 12 shots of the game, 9 of them were three-point attempts, and he was 3-9. He's actually 1-7 until he made two desperation heaves at the very end of the game that really, I mean, I guess kept the Wolves alive a little bit longer. But he missed several shots, which I want to get to in a second, as some down-the-stretch execution for the Wolves that were just not great shot attempts. And Edwards was solid all the way around. So I think those three can work together. The Cavs are a fairly good defensive team, despite their reputation as, you know, everybody expected them to be myself included, a bottom five team in the league this year. And I'm still kind of expecting them to end up there. But they're a pretty good defensive team, top 10 in defensive efficiency and defensive rating. They have been for most of the year. And the Wolves had, again, certainly some issues in terms of execution, but the individual performance by Anthony Edwards and the way that the Wolves were trying to get Edwards, Beasley, and Russell involved, it was encouraging. And I think that there's some certainly some upside there with that group in the starting lineup, and you add Towns and things get even more interesting. The other thing to note was the bench rotation. I mentioned this earlier, but basically Lehman, McDaniels, and Vanderbilt kind of rotated through the four spot with the bench, and Naz Reid played 13 minutes at the five. Rubio had another kind of so-so game, more bad than good, I would say, in this one. He certainly wasn't as good as he was Sunday. And, you know, Jalen Noel had another high usage game where he was effective, and he brings that scoring dynamic the Wolves wouldn't otherwise have off the bench. So there's a lot of promise there. It's just that second quarter was so ugly. And how much of it is this unit is playing together for the first time really over the past couple of games versus how much of it is what kind of offensive upside is there? And Jaden McDaniels played extremely well. We'll talk about him here in a minute, some more in studs and duds. But it's not like the Wolves were running too much to try and get McDaniels the ball. It was a lot of things that they were running for Jalen Noel. It was a lot of Ricky Rubio making things happen in pick and roll, or trying to make things happen in pick and roll. And McDaniels ended up with 10 shot attempts in 22 minutes. And of course, leading the Wolves in minutes off the bench as well. So I'm intrigued by the bench unit. There's a lot of length. There's some good athleticism, just maybe not quite enough shooting, depending on what we think of McDaniels and Noel moving forward. Noel hasn't shot the ball well at the NBA level, but he's a good shooter. Jaden McDaniels should be a good shooter. And then the next question is who from the Russell Beasley Edwards group gets at some point not pushed to the bench, but operates with the bench more frequently. I think the obvious answer there is Edwards. But what does that look like moving forward? And do they just give Edwards the keys to the second unit, or how is that handled? And that's one of the next questions that needs to be answered as the Wolves start to get guys back from injury and from the COVID health and safety protocols. I should mention also, I didn't say this off the top, but Juancho Hernan Gomez was active in this game. He was actually dressed and active, but did not play. It didn't look like he was ever really going to play. He was questionable coming into the game. I think they said for conditioning or something like that as he works his way back. And Karl-Anthony Towns was on the bench, not dressed, but is on the trip. And I'm not sure if he'll play Wednesday or not. It feels like maybe the end of the week is a more realistic target if he's not practicing yet. but definitely positive movement. And Culver's going to be out for sure the rest of the week. So the Wolves are going to start to slowly but surely get some of these guys back. And there's just a lot of rotation decisions that Ryan Saunders and the coaching staff have to make. All right, next let's talk studs and duds. The players that stood out for having good games, the players that stood out for having bad games for the Timberwolves in this loss to the Cavs. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about our great friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, I'll say it again, the prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. And again, they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, and David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day coast to coast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's talk studs and duds from this game and then take a peek ahead at the rest of the week. So pretty easy, actually, again, for this one. Studs for this game for me, Anthony Edwards is one again. He had 13 points, 5 of 12 shooting, 2 of 5 on threes, attempted one free throw and made it on an and one opportunity, had 3 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal, 0 turnovers in 31 minutes, and was actually had the best plus minus of anybody in the starting lineup, was a minus 3 in 31 minutes. And frankly, he didn't get quite enough opportunities. And I want to talk a little bit more about that here in a second when I get to D'Lo. Spoiler, D'Angelo Russell is not getting a stud award for this game, but we'll get to him in a minute. Anthony Edwards does get that award. He did make a couple of threes that were in rhythm, good shots, you know, catch and shoot threes. At least one of his three misses was one of the, you know, pump fake sidestep, you know, one dribble to the left, shoots a difficult contested three from the slot. Those are the ones that he needs to kind of eradicate from his shot selection. He needs to just get in the paint, shoot open threes, catch and shoot threes. Even the really deep ones are fine if it's in rhythm. He's a good shooter if he's shooting the ball in rhythm. So that'll be something to continue keeping an eye on for Anthony Edwards. I'm also going to give a stud in this game to Jaden McDaniels off the bench. 11 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 of 10 shooting, 1 of 4 beyond the arc. He made another corner three in this game. And 22 minutes, like I mentioned earlier, played with the starters, basically got Josh Okogie's spot down the stretch in this game and defended well. I mentioned that he guarded Darius Garland and, you know, Garland basically got what he wanted in this game, but it also wasn't only Jaden McDaniels guarding him just a little bit down the stretch there. And McDaniels is really solid defensively. He appears to have good instincts. He certainly has great length and athleticism. I talked about this before, but nobody really knew what his defense would look like at the NBA level because the University of Washington, they primarily run a zone, and he didn't get the opportunity to really D up many guys one-on-one. Turns out his lateral quickness and a length and all that stuff combined with what's apparently, you know, he has pretty good instincts, and that matters. And he was really impressive on both ends of the floor in this game. So he gets a second stud. The third stud for me in this game is going to go to Jalen Noel. He had 12 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, 5 of 13 shooting, 1 of 3 outside the arc. Again, really aggressive looking for his shot. You know, 13 shot attempts in 17 minutes. That's one more shot attempt than Anthony Edwards, and Anthony Edwards played 14 more minutes than him. Edwards shot the ball 12 times in 31 minutes. Noel shot it 13 times in 17 minutes. But the Wolves need that guy who's willing to shoot the ball, who's willing to squeeze the trigger off the bench. Even though Noel hasn't been ultra efficient, his shot selection's mostly been pretty good. There haven't been too many real head scratchers for him. He had a couple of tough ones today. There was one where he shot the ball, got his own rebound back and scored. I actually think he might've done that twice. He had three offensive rebounds in this game. Noel did, but he's been an activity guy off the bench. He's held his own defensively. And I'm really interested to see where he goes next as the Wolves continue to shuffle this ever evolving rotation. Duds for this game. One is going to D'Angelo Russell. 18 points, led the team in scoring. Four assists, no turnovers. So it's a tough one for him. But this goes back in the category of, hey, the Wolves don't have Karl-Anthony Towns. D'Lo, you've got to make the right decisions. You've got to make the right reads down the stretch. He shot the ball five more times than anyone else on the team. He started the game 3 of 7, all inside the arc, finished the game. The rest of the game from that point forward, shot 4 of 12 and 3 of 9 from beyond the arc. But again, he was 1 of 7 until the final minute of the game when he hit two basically desperation three-pointers in the final minute and 5 seconds or so in the game. Only attempted 2 free throws, was 1 of 2 at the line. Outside of twice in the first quarter, he didn't get into the paint to attempt any shots. Just kind of lived early. It was in the mid-range, and he actually wasn't making as many of those as he usually does. The Cavs were giving it to him, and he was missing it. Then late in the game, it was all outside the arc, and he was clanking those shots. Jim Peterson called this out when it happened, as he often does on Fox Sports North. The Wolves ran an elevator door set to get Beasley an open three at the top of the arc, at the top of the key, he may have been covered, but the Cavs actually played it pretty well. But the play was clearly called for Beasley to get that shot. And it's tough to say for sure if it would have been a really clean look. But Russell took what was even a much more difficult shot off the dribble, kind of at a standstill on the wing, a contested jumper that he missed. The Wolves got the rebound and I think ended up shooting free throws anyway. But it just wasn't the right read for D'Lo. And that wasn't the only time he did it in the final few minutes. From that like 6 minute to 2 minute mark or so in the fourth quarter, D'Lo was the quarterback of an offense that was stuck in neutral. And the default action for the offense was Russell to shoot a contested three or to shoot a three extremely early in the shot clock. And D'Angelo Russell's the classic, you know, what do the announcers and coaches always call it? The no, 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 yes player, where he shoots a terrible shot and then it goes in and it's like, all right, we'll take it. But in a game like this, when he's 1 of 7, and this is another thing, I think Jim Peterson said this on the broadcast, that Russell almost figured like it's got to go in at some point, right? I mean, he's a good shooter. And that's true. If you're open, you're catching it in rhythm and you're shooting as part of the flow of the offense, you're getting plays called for you. But when you're the point guard and you're just calling your own number because you figure you've got to make one at some point, that's not the best way to get your team the victory. And granted, Malik Beasley was 0 of 6 beyond the arc in this game. So it's not like Beasley was any better than D'Angelo Russell. However, D'Angelo Russell, again, was the quarterback of the offense down the stretch, or was supposed to be, and just made too many poor decisions. And it was his job to get Anthony Edwards those shots. And it was his job to make sure that they were getting clean looks from the perimeter, that the offense was flowing. And he called his own number just a little bit too much. And then on that same token, Malik Beasley gets a dud. Unfortunately, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. He turned the ball over 4 times. Talked about this already. He had some uncharacteristic turnovers. Shot just 5 of 14, 0 of 6 beyond the arc, and 0 free throw attempts in a team high 33 minutes for Malik Beasley. He was also a minus 11, which was only Josh Okogie had a worse individual plus minus of a minus 12 in this game. So for whatever that's worth, that individual game plus minus can always be taken with a grain of salt. But the 4 turnovers to 3 assists, the 5 of 14 shooting, 0 of 6 beyond the arc, and the lack of free throw attempts for Beasley gives him a dud in this game. It's the rare clunker. I think it's probably his worst or second worst game of the year so far. He's been so great otherwise that, it's again, like I said before, it's clearly a blip on the radar for Beasley. All right. The rest of the week, the Timberwolves are in the midst of this 5 games in 7 day stretch. So they are in San Antonio to play the Spurs for the third and final time of the first half of the schedule on Wednesday. Of course, they lost to the Spurs in the that Saturday night game when Towns played for the first time after returning from the wrist injury, and Anthony Edwards made the mistake at the end of overtime. And then the following day on the back-to-back, the Wolves beat the Spurs with Towns not playing. The Wolves won 96-88 in that game. So they'll get a rubber match, I guess, essentially, of this three-game series, three-game first half series on Wednesday evening. That's a 7:30 p.m. tip. We'll preview that on tomorrow's show. That's Wednesday's show. Of course, the podcast is daily Monday through Friday. Also be back on Thursday to talk all things from Wednesday's game. And then on Friday, special episode upcoming, a crossover episode with Ryland Stiles of Locked On Thunder. The Wolves have a back-to-back two-game set in OKC Friday and Saturday. So Ryland and I are going to talk about the Thunder, who are supposed to be tanking, but are clearly better than the Wolves. So I'll get his take on that. And if that's going to last, I'm sure he'll wonder if the Timberwolves are going to help the Thunder tank or get in their way, as the Wolves aren't trying to tank. They're trying to win, and it's not working so far. So we'll talk all things Wolves, all things Thunder on Friday, ahead of the Wolves Thunder matchup on Friday and Saturday. So be sure that you check that show out. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get podcasts. Also, if you're so inclined, please help us out with a review on Apple. That definitely helps us get in front of more folks. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder that this episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively at BlueNile.com. That's all we have for today. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves. My name is Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.